Alrighty, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We just pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand your word. And Father, as we learn the lessons from the future, help us to apply it now and live it out before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Revelation 18, and this is part 2, I believe, of Babylon, right? We are looking at the destruction of Babylon, so Revelation 18 will be your text. One of the things we want to focus in on is the system of the Babylonian system of what's the world culminating to, what's happening right now. Let me give you history of Rome and Greece, and then I'm going to bring it into today, and you see if you see the parallels. Rome and Greece started functioning with a democracy, or a republic, if you want to call that, and then it moved into a democracy. Once it moved into a democracy, it went into eventually having a dictator take over it because the mob rule didn't work very well. Obviously, full-blown democracy is no good because what you get is mob rule. You get the majority, and the majority of people have sin natures, and they decide to do evil. And so then a strong man comes in, takes over. Okay, this happened with Philip of Macedon in Greece, and then eventually the emperors in Rome took over and became dictators to take over the mob rule. Okay, the declensions in both empires started economically. And it did so in this way. The aristocracy, or the senators and the elite politicians involved in their governments, started enriching themselves on taxation. And the taxes kept getting levied higher and higher and higher. At the same time, another group kept benefiting from heavy taxation, and that was the extreme poor. So how did it so? Rome, the saying was panem et circuses. Well, what did that mean? Bread and circuses. The idea came, the aristocracy who was getting fat off the taxes and enriching themselves were doing it also to garner the support of the mob rule, which most of the people in the Rome were poor, by giving them free bread and entertaining them with circuses. And you know the gladiatorial games that erupted in Rome. What is it, 150, 180 days of gladiatorial games to keep the mob distracted, to keep the mob from revolting. So when they would go there, they'd be entertained, and they'd get their free bread. And that kept the mob in control. Does this sound familiar?
Is that why the Democrats always call this democracy and not a republic?
Because America is a constitutional republic, not a democracy. I hope you understand that.
But even Republicans call it a democracy.
They keep saying democracy, democracy, democracy. Full-blown, our founding fathers did not want a democracy because they, why? Why wouldn't you want a democracy? Full-blown. It's mob rule. It's mob rule. So if we had a vote, and let's just pull everybody, you know, in the United States, because our founders knew that because of their sin nature, they would all gravitate to doing evil. So they said, we can't have a full-blown democracy. What we have to have is constitutional republic. And a constitutional republic means rex lex. The law is king. No one's above that law. And then you have to have a republican form of government, Christian men and women, I guess. Back then, there was just all men that ran for politics. But Christians who had morals and were following God's law to keep the union together. The problem is, what happens when you have politicians that are not Christian? That's what we have today. They then enrich themselves on the populace. It's amazing. You go into politics and become a millionaire. It's amazing how that works. I wonder why. And then, in our system, in order to keep your power, you have to appeal to the masses of the lower class and keep giving them stuff so they keep voting you in.
The thing about being a constitutional republic and having a rule of law is that a lot of people say that you can't legislate morality, and it's true, but in one sense, and in the other sense, it's not true, because only if you have moral law, only those who are willing to submit themselves
to the moral law.
To the moral law.
Yes. That's right.
So, and that's the problem we're having today.
Bingo. Therein lies the problem, isn't it? A constitutional republic can only function when your leaders are moral. The problem is, when your leaders stop being moral, you have complete anarchy, and you will have to eventually stop the mob rule like Rome did, to where they had to give them a bunch of free stuff, keep them entertained, but eventually it dies. And guess what happens? You have anarchy. People will say, please bring order to this situation. We will give up our own personal rights for you to get some type of security system going on here. You think people are not willing to do that? Check out TSA. Have you guys been watching TSA? They are breaking constitutional amendments, the Eighth Amendment of search and seizure, for you to go in to fly an airplane. You cannot give up your constitutional right of having a pat down like you've been arrested. Muslims bomb our buildings. They get a pass because of their headdresses of not being patted down, and yet our 3-year-olds are getting patted down. And like the guy said, remember that guy, the famous guy on YouTube, he had turned the phone on, don't touch. Yeah, they patted him down, and he made a good statement. If you weren't the federal government, this would be sexual assault. And it was. If you watch them, how they pat people down. The other thing is, it's another sexual assault to have a full body scanner of you nude. The scanners are so accurate, they can see the sweat off your back. And they say, well, these won't make it on the internet. Really? They just went viral. They showed them on TV. They're so graphic, they have to blur them out. So how would you like going to an airport this Thanksgiving like this? The TSA person's there seeing you fully nude. Fully nude, and says, oh, these will be erased. And if you opt out of that, and they make a big deal about it, and then you give up your Eighth Amendment right of search and seizure, and then to pat you down like you're a criminal.
They said when you buy your ticket, you give up your Eighth Amendment right now.
Yeah, so here's my thing. When did I give up my constitutional rights? Ever. I never voted for that, ever, and TSA has the right to do that? See, here's my point. That's one case of people saying, I'm willing to give up my rights as a citizen for security. This is what the people in Rome did. They gave up getting more and more rights. Just give us the free bread. Protect us from the barbarians and just keep giving us our circuses and our bread, and I'll give up all my rights to you. And eventually, they did. When you give up all your rights, you have nothing left. And what happens is a dictator or a strong man, in our case, we know what the strong man is, don't we? The strong man will come in and bring order to chaos from this anarchy that we're even seeing in the world, and he will come with a system of controlling every facet of your life. What you're going to read today is about the destruction of that system. But we're in a time period where we're seeing the system form. John.
When you say random, too, that they're probably just trying to make us mad.
Yes.
They're not securing the borders, but at the same time, they know that they're also making money off the equipment that they're having purchased, because they know the Israeli system works much better when they just interrogate.
Absolutely.
And they know that dogs work better, but they don't make money off the dogs, and they don't make money, as much money off the firing people and training them right to do interrogations correctly.
You got it. Let's rabbit trail if you want, okay? Let's just rabbit trail for a second. Okay? I know I'm rabbit trailing, but I'm going to come back to Babylon. This is part of the Babylonian system. Commercialism, making money off people. Okay, what he just said is absolutely accurate. The best people who take care of airplanes is El Al. That's Israeli's system, by the way. They hire ex-military, and they profile. They don't just pull off Granny, who's 94, and do a full body pat down on Granny. Or do a full body pat down like they did on the 3-year old. Did you see that? And the 3-year old was jumping, don't touch me, don't touch me. Did you see that? Okay. The Israeli guys, they profile. If you're in the Middle East, who do you profile? Muslims? Yeah. Oh, that's not politically correct to say, Brandon. Don't say that. You're a racist bigot. Wait a second. Those who bomb buildings are Muslim. So Israel says, we'll profile you if you're Muslim. We had a gal who went on an Israel trip here from the church who had an Arab last name. They interrogated her for 3 hours. Why? Who blows buildings up? It's not 94-year-old grandmother from Iowa. She doesn't blow things up.
And with the Israeli security, this starts long before that flight even takes off.
You're right. They call us.
They start researching
every person on that flight.
It's not just Muslims. They actually, if you can't answer their questions correctly, like, why are you going?
Right.
You could be a Christian.
Exactly.
Or Jewish, and they're going to question you for 3 hours as well.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, your story has to match up. I even heard Glenn Beck, who's a Mormon, he got stuck over there for 3 hours because he couldn't answer the questions correctly. So here's an American, can't answer questions, and he's stuck there. He can't get out. And didn't have the dogs. Now, you're making a good point. Why don't we do that? They have had no problems with airplanes. In fact, they have a marshal on the airplane. If you act out, he shoots you. Boop, you're dead. It's simple. Isn't that simple? Okay. Again, this is the Babylonian system, commercialism. I'm making money off you. The guy, or the company who owns the scanners, the second under Janet Napolitano, and I forget his name. If anyone knows, let me know. Is a second under Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, who can't answer a single question when she's asked. He has shares in the company. And then another guy who owns 11,000, well, he did own 11,000 shares, and the owners of his OCI, who owns OCI? Oh, that's George Soros. He owns 11,000 shares in the stock of the scanners. Oh, but he sold those 2 days, four or five days ago, because the heat got on him that he owned shares in the scanners. George Soros is an evil man. Hope you guys know that. But my point is, did you see the money trail? Follow the money. Why did they do that? Is because someone had to gain off of it. Someone had to profit off of it. It wasn't just because, well, this is, we're stepping up security. Someone was making money. Well, then if you're going to step up security, do what the Israelis do. They're the best at it. They don't have problems. It's always money. Babylonianism is about commercialism, making money off poor people, having people give up their rights as individuals to ingratiate themselves to the system. When we read this text, I want you to see not only destruction, but who is mourning after it because of its destruction, because that's your key. I want you to get out of that today, okay? So let's read that real quick. Revelation 18, and start with verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So that will happen in the millennium. It will be a confinement for demons. We talked about that last week, or 2 weeks ago. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth. Okay, so right there. The politicians. You catching that? The kings are our politicians. They're the kings of the earth right now. What did they do with her? Committed fornication with her. How did they do that? Who else did that committed fornication? And the merchants, the CEOs, the businessmen committed fornication with her. Why? They have become rich through the abundance of her luxury, of what she provided them. You ever heard follow the money? Verse 4, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. That's talking to the Jews who will be in Babylon at that time, because they'll be in slavery there under the Antichrist. Lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive her of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived how? Luxuriously. Off of who? Off of our money. In the same measure, her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen. I am the widow and will not see sorrow. That's a mock to the bride of Christ. Did you catch that? She sees this as being without a husband. You're called the bride, but where is your bridegroom? My deliverer is coming, and he's going to tear her up. So she's mocking us. Do you see that? It's the mocking of the bride. I'm the widow. Where's your bridegroom? I have men and kings committing fornication with me. That system is mocking Christianity. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Okay, and the watch. Watch who mourns. The kings, the politicians, the seven kings with the Antichrist of the earth who committed fornication, lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. 2. And the merchants, or the CEOs, or the companies of the earth will weep and mourn for her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. What merchandise? Of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every citron wood, kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, bodies and souls of men. See that last phrase, souls of men? There'll be a slave trade in the end, by the way. So slavery will resume, by the way. They're making slaves out of people right now. Fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. That's your key verse. The fruit that these kings, politicians, merchants, transporters of goods longed for is all what he's just named. He's named the monetary system. He's named building materials. He's named food items. He's named cattle and things of that nature. All of that is riches, mammon, money, the bottom line of that. That's all what they wanted from her. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour your riches have come to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Let's stop right there. Three groups are named that profited from her. Kings of the earth, are you looking at modern day vernacular? Politicians, presidents, whoever, leaders of countries. The second group are the merchants or businessmen, business, industry profited off of her. And what was the third group? Transporters, shipping people. Those who ship products all over the seas and things, those three groups all mourned because they were making money off of her. Why did they commit fornication with this system? Because they enriched themselves, it said. Here's the bottom line. The Babylonian system is here right now with us. It is forming. What it tries to do is make you take a bite from it. The economics of our world are going to get worse and worse and worse according to the Bible. A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. What that's talking about is inflation, even on your food items, will skyrocket, is what the book of Revelation is talking about. It's heading in that direction. You think food costs a lot now? You have no idea what happens if they devalue our dollar. If they devalue your dollar goes nowhere in buying anything. Food items will go up. Folgers coffee will cost $22 a can. Well, that you can eliminate that out of your budget. Sugar would cost, you know, $21. All you do is go a price index and email me and I'll give you the information of how much food will cost if they keep devaluing the dollar. You won't be able to afford anything. So therefore, this system comes in and says, look, you can have it all. Just fornicate with me, the system says. Compromise. Come in, and I'll let you play the game. But if you don't want to play the game, you will be shut out. That's what these kings, transporters, and merchants all realize, is that if you do not play the game, you're going to be kept out of the money. See, we still have the same problem that the Roman citizens have. We have corrupt politicians, and we have a scarcity of wealth. Now, what your humanistic, liberal people in politics or the professors in the university is going to tell you is, you need to demand your equal rights. Equal rights? As far as economics are concerned, what are you talking about? Equal rights? Oh, that's Marxist terms for social justice. I gotcha. They're going to try to get you mad and try to cause a class war, that you're going to be mad at rich people for being rich. Well, it's not fair that they're rich and I have nothing. Really? Did you work for it? Why should we take from the rich and give to you? What did you do for it? Well, you say, well, they're trust fund babies. Yeah, there's very few trust fund babies, by the way. Most of the millionaires that have been made millionaires did it through self-effort. They really did. If you study their history, there's a book on it, and I forget the name of the book, but it's how people became millionaires. A lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice. I heard a story about a daughter who's in one of our liberal universities in the United States. I won't name it. And her dad is a conservative Christian, believes in hard work, things of that nature. And she came to her dad and said, Dad, you know, my professor's been telling me it's not fair that, you know, people have unequal value, or not unequal value, but unequal incomes, and some people are richer than others, and this is not right, Dad. He goes, it's not right? She goes, yeah, Dad, and two, you know, you have a big business, you make a lot of money, it's not right that you have that. So she goes, really? He goes, let me ask you something. You know, you have a friend in school, don't you? She goes, yeah, her name's Jane. Yeah, okay. What's your GPA? She says, oh, I have a 4.0. She says, I know you do. He goes, you work really hard, don't you? Yeah. He goes, what's Jane's GPA? She goes, well, she has a 2.0, Dad. And, you know, she parties all the time. She doesn't study and things of that nature. And so, and she likes to be, she's really socially popular, but, you know, she didn't put in the time to get good grades. He goes, well, if I use your logic and your professor's logic, then why don't we take a point from your GPA and give it to her, and so you both would have 3.0s. She said, Dad, I worked really hard for this. I put in my time. I don't party. I sacrifice. That's not fair. Bingo. Bingo. That's it. You think she went back to her university with that kind of mindset anymore? No. She got it. So what people are going to try to get you to do is say, well, it's not fair. I don't have what they have and this and that. What that is they're trying to get you to love money. That is what it is. What is the root of all kinds of evil? The love of money. Do you think a poor person can desire wealth just as much as a rich person? Sometimes even more, because they don't have it. The world, the Babylonian system, wants you to desire materialism. And I'm going to tell you this. This last year, I think God's been teaching me about this in my own life, about materialism. I've seen all the things in my house just get destroyed by my kids, and we have nothing left. And I've told my wife, I said, we can't, doggone it, we can't have anything nice. So I have a nice TV in my front room, it's nice, but my kids get on the Wii, they don't put the thing or the strap around their wrists, and they're playing tennis. And what does the five-year-old do? Takes a swing, poof, poof, and I saw the thing in slow motion, everything just stopped. Right through the middle of it, man, right through the middle of the TV, boom, and I've never seen a TV do that. Wow, that was cool. The guys at Earner said, hey, we've heard a lot about Wii's going through TVs, man. What did it look like? And they were all pumped up to hear about it. So the kids realized something went really wrong. The first kid goes, oh, and he just took off. And then the other boy saw it. He goes, ah, and he took off, and he didn't even do it. And they went and hid. And I sat there, and you ever get as so mad as a parent, you can't do anything, you're frozen? And I look at my wife, and she's sitting there, and I'm too mad to even get up. What do you say? And then, on top of that, okay, so you deal with the TV, and then, as you know, I was sick last week. It's because of my kids having just unbelievable viruses. And the first kid decides to puke in the car, and the car went under the carpet, so you can't get that out, so obviously it stinks in there. The other kid I was holding up, and she pukes in the Lazy Boy down on me and into the chair. That chair's ruined now because it got into the seepage and the thing. The other kid pukes in the on the floor and in his bed. Have anything nice around here. And I think what God was trying to teach me is, Brandon, don't worry about this materialism is stuff. It's gonna be going to the Antichrist and anyway, it's gonna get burned up. And I guess I had a problem with it, I guess. So God had to teach me some lessons about materialism. I'm still having a hard time with the TV one, man. That was bad. And the puke smell is still in the car, but
Febreze is a wonderful.
Febreze, yeah, it works, but kind of. When you get that Lysol-y and vomit smell, not a good deal.
Well, also with the devaluing of the dollar, it's affecting missionaries.
It is. We're actually pulling off missionaries into off the fields because we can't afford them anymore. Anything is like $17 a day or $21 a day to keep a missionary on the field, and we can't even support that anymore. We can't even support what's happening here in America. So all that to say is, I think what God's trying to say is, the system of Babylonian is materialism and the love of money. That's part of it. And you're entering an economic time to where you're going to be seduced into that. Be careful. That's all I'm telling you. I'm protecting myself from getting into that mindset. Ask yourself, do you really need this? Ask yourself, is this a want versus a need in your body? Because I don't know what's going to happen. If the world keeps going the way it is, it's you can't keep doing this to your own currency. You just can't without economic ramifications of this. And I think it's all set up, and they want to go to a different currency to begin with. But the mindset that we got to have, he says in the scriptures, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Where did Jesus say that you need to put your efforts into? Where do you need to put your treasure at? In heaven. Well, I don't know about you, but that big TV that, you know, the kid threw the Wii, I can't take that with me. That doesn't go there, so I have to put that in the right perspective to keep myself calm. If I don't, I'll blow a gasket or the Lazy Boy that the kid puked in. In this type of economic times. Said this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So whatever you treasure in this world, it could be materialism, it could be getting money, prestige, promise, wherever that treasure, you define what that treasure is, your heart will follow right after it. So the Christian, your treasure should be up in heaven and have the things of eternal value, and there your heart will follow afterwards. So you want to know how to guide your heart, put your treasure there. What do you value the most? Don't value the materialism. Don't value that. It just it gets puked on and all that stuff, so it's not going to go. But here's my point. Now watch. I want to show you a video, and Scott wants you to cue this video up. This video is going to show you the luxury items of a city like Dubai. Okay? Now, why do I use Dubai? Dubai was created in like less than a decade off of oil money. Now, what we're looking at with the... I got to get you over there, huh? Now, if you should find it. Okay, it's good. Let's see. Push menu if there's a menu button.
A what?
A menu button. Is there a menu button? Just maybe.
On the DVD.
You know what? Insert it and excerpt it. Or,
eject.
I'm sorry. So we can get to a root menu. It went off. Because there's four little items there. I want to be able to get to the right one. Okay. As that's loading, it says in the end, Babylon will be the center capital of the world, and everybody's want to trade with her, and she's going to be in Iraq for her luxury items. She will have this kind of wealth even at a greater capacity than what you see with Dubai. Is that finally loaded? Okay, let me ask you guys this. I forget which one it is. Well, I think if we go to the most luxurious city in the world, you're going to hear the discoteca Arabic thing. I mean, if you don't mind that, it's like discoteca Arabic music behind it. But I don't know. Maybe they'll like it. I don't know. Try the most luxurious city. Yeah, let's try that. Crank up the... They'll really like this music. Yikes. Okay, turn it down too. You're too much. Thank you. Yeah, it's a good point about the slave labor. Now, that's Dubai. That's what the Bible says will happen to Babylon in the middle of Iraq. You'll have this. You see, the guy was holding up the gold. That's real gold. That's not the fake stuff off the street.
My old landlord, they're Indian. She went to a wedding, her cousin's wedding, and she goes, "Oh, and we stopped in Dubai."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Oh, did you see the little building, the sale building?" And
yeah.
And she goes, "Yeah, we went to this mall, and it was like a huge mall, and it was all gold."
All gold.
And I went, because she's like, "I bought these bangles," and I'm like, "So," she goes, "Yeah, all they sell is gold." And I'm like, "I don't like gold." She goes, "After a while, it hurts your eyes. There's just so much gold everywhere."
That's what happens when you have oceans of oil.
I was just like, "Oh my God."
So at your disposal.
Like, I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Dave.
What this is all about is it's Satan's idea about getting man to create utopia.
Right.
To usurp the four square city that Christ has created for us in heaven.
That's right. You keep hearing this push that New Agers, occultic leaders want to bring heaven to earth. Mm-hmm. Listen, only Jesus brings heaven to earth. Man cannot. Man creates cities like Dubai, but it's a fake. It's a forgery, and it gets people to come in. Now, the tallest skyscraper will be in Dubai. I think they're working on it right now. Unbelievable amounts of wealth are coming out of Dubai. But that's how it is all over the Middle East. They have that kind of money. That's why Babylon becomes the ability to cause people to come in. Say, you want some of this wealth? Compromise. Deny Christ. Come on in. We'll give you some of this gold that we have hanging just in the malls.
But the last thing that I heard from Dubai was that they were bankrupt.
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem they're having is they overbuilt, and now they don't have the tourism they thought they were going to have. So that's the point I want to see with Dubai is how fast the city can get put up with the amount of wealth that they have, because Babylon will be that. And then you read about its destruction. It can't last. People get corrupted and things of that nature. So, all that to say is this. What do we get from this? What do we get from this text? See, I got to get to the invitation right now. The commercialism of Babylon is with us now. You're going into the holiday season right now with Christmas. Babylonianism is in marketing, by the way. That's where it comes from. It's to get you to think you need this, and really, you really don't. God's not against you having things. He's not. But your things can't have you. They can't control you. You have to control them. And after a while, ask yourself, do I need this? Do I need that? Do I need this? Ask yourself.
Look what happened here within the last 10 years in the housing market.
Absolutely.
People that couldn't afford houses were getting loans that
they shouldn't have made.
Ever had.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't afford it, but you know, you can have this. Just sign here.
Mm-hmm.
If good you point. Go home today and read Zechariah chapter 3, you'll find out what all of our material things are worth.
Yes.
When they speak, when the angel was speaking to the high priest Joshua about
mm-hmm.
filthy stained clothing.
That's right.
And in the Hebrew, it literally means the feces.
That's right. And you think about this. I've done a bunch of funerals. Never seen a hearse behind one. Not a hearse, but a U-Haul. Sorry.
Or a TV.
I never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You ain't taking it with you. And Job said it himself, naked I enter the world, naked I will leave. And the only thing that makes it up with there is the stuff you put up in heaven and your treasure. So the bottom line, what you learn from the system, don't get sucked into the system because it's with us right now, but also do what the Lord said about where your treasure needs to be. Put it in heaven. It's really, you invest your lives in people. That's what makes it to heaven, is in people. So when you get your reward, part of your reward is the amount of people that you led to the Lord there. That's part of your reward, not all of it. I'm just saying that's part of it. Because that's what God considers valuable, is people, not things. Use your things to win people, is what the Lord said. Didn't He say that? He said it this way. Use your money to make friends. He says the pagans do it. They're smarter than you. And you think, oh, that seems, wow, that seems so unchristian. No, it's not. Use your material resources to make friends so they can lead them to the Lord and they can get saved. That's what he meant by that. Not to buy people off or bribe them. That's not what the point is. But to use your resources to reach people for the kingdom. So anyway, I got to run for the invitation, and we will pick up in the campaign of Armageddon next week. You should go ahead and put it in the folder.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, man.